Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
9:09 finally on Friday. Thank goodness the weather is nice, because if it would be hot and humid, I would swear I'd be getting ready for the 4th of July as long as this week has seemed. But thankfully, it is 9 o'clock on Friday. Time to talk to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Time to, kind of like Atlas, shrug off all the cares of the world and talk about some fun stuff. How you doing, Ian?
Doing great, Tommy. Great to be back with you. You know, this week, it really tried to pin us down, Ooh. Really tried to hold back, but it couldn't. By the end, Friday prevailed, and here we are, and it's a gorgeous one.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, I love seeing it, because it's French Quarter Fest weekend, and just knowing all the effort and the hopes that are pinned to good weather for one of these giant outdoor festivals on our calendar, to have it all come together. Now, just the New Orleans talent has to do its part, and that's the much more reliable than the weather, let's say that. So it's going to be awesome down there this weekend.
For first-timers, and I always like to ask this question, because sometimes people, a lot of people go, almost a million people, maybe more than that. But for first-timers that are thinking about it on the fence, what would your advice be?
Tommy, my favorite part about French Quarter Fest is the French Quarter itself. That's really like the distinguishing characteristic of this festival. It's big, it's open admissions, no ticket. But I think what really distinguishes it from Jazz Fest or from any festival anywhere, literally anywhere, is the French Quarter. You know, and you and I have talked about the French Quarter before. We talked about it after the January 1st atrocity. We talk about it frequently. It is this hub of New Orleans. It really is. It's everyone's old neighborhood, right? It's the place where everyone feels like, no matter where they live, North Shore, West Bank, Uptown, it's the place where you go when you want to feel like really connected to New Orleans. It's not a coincidence. It's where everyone flooded when the Saints won the Super Bowl. They flooded, let's go to the Quarter, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how it feels at French Quarter Fest. It's the entire city coming together at this neighborhood that is the epicenter of New Orleans culture and hospitality. You can see the whole history of our city and why we're here written in the architecture of the buildings around you, the grid of the streets, the curve of the river. And also, I love watching giant ocean-going vessels managing that curve of the river, dead serious on the bridge while everyone's eating po' boys and gumbo and partying and drinking beer on the shore. That's quite the juxtaposition. Once you're there, once you're in the French Quarter, the festival is swirling all around you, and the food, it follows suit with everything I just talked about. It's about 60 to 70 different vendors out there. They're arrayed in these different, I call them eating arcades. They're like their own distinct food halls or food courts set up in different spots near the various stages. And just like the crowd comes from all over the New Orleans area to convene in the French Quarter, so too are the vendors represented from all across. There's a lot of French Quarter restaurants there. You got Toujac's, Desire Oyster Bar, Revolution, just rattling off a few of them, Dickie Brennan's places. But then it's restaurants and food trucks and caterers from all across the area, and it is as diverse a collection of flavors and types of restaurants and restaurant people as you'll find anywhere on this roster of eats. And so, you know, you consult the cubes for your top music picks, but I've got a story up on NOLA.com right now if you want some visuals to go along with that.
I do. Well, I want to talk about your picks because some of these things. But before we do, let me get to the business aspect of this because restaurateurs and food trucks are in business. The French Quarter Fest would not be what it is without them. They have to put some investment into supplies, et cetera, and perishables to make this happen. So it kind of is important that people support that is what I'm getting to.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about all festivals is you pay everything up front, you know, whether it's your vendor fee or, more importantly, probably the buying all your supplies, your raw materials, hiring staff, and then you hope people show up, you know. And it's a very different dynamic than when you're running a restaurant. And you kind of, you know, it's a similar dynamic, but with a restaurant, you're stretching that over the life of your business cycle, whereas, you know, it's going to work that weekend or that one-day festival, that two-day festival, whatever it is, and the weather can have a huge impact on. So when it's beautiful like this, yeah, you know, bring it on. And it is a business, and it's important for these businesses, but it's also, for us as customers, as consumers, as participants in our culture, a great way to get a taste of different things, because it is the whole city, places from the whole city convened in one spot, and you can literally, you know, try them one next to the other, shop with your eyes first, see what looks good. Oh, I've heard of this place. What's that all about? I've heard about Addis Nola. What does Ethiopian food look like? Wow, it looks like a really good chicken wing with some different spices on it I've never tried before, or a meat pie that's very different from the one that I get from Mrs. Wheat's or from Lazone's from Natchitoches. Let me try that. You know, that's the kind of the spirit of exploration that you get into. I've heard of Smoke and Honey, a Greek restaurant in Mid-City that's been around for about a year plus. I think I heard McNulty and Tucker talking about it on the radio one time. But here it is at French Quarter Fest, and I can try their lamb shoulder po' boy on Genduza bread, see what that's all about. You know, and that's the fun of the festival. You know, you're not buying it. You're not locked into one restaurant or one meal. And, you know, let's face it, the way New Orleans people do a festival, they're gonna have a few different things throughout the course of the day. So it's a great kind of sampling opportunity. And I love when I hear people say they tried something and they ended up going to the restaurant. Now it's on their regular rotation of restaurants that they go to because they tried it at French Quarter Fest or Jazz Fest or one of the other neighborhood festivals. It's a great exposure built in for these businesses in addition to just ringing up some sales at the counter. And that's a big reason why they do it.
So let's talk about, why'd you put your name first? I'm just curious about that. Said McNulty and Tucker. I just wonder about that.
Oh, anyway. McNulty and Tucker.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but seriously, let's talk about some of these specific things. I'm looking at pictures here of Lazone's meat pies from Natchitoches. My kid went to school at Northwestern State, so I'm very familiar with that. So they bring the whole shebang down here and make the pies fresher. How do they do that? Tell me that story.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's you know, it is mostly New Orleans restaurants, but these festivals, you know, they'll draw some regional players. People are familiar with that from Jazz Fest. You know, you get your gumbo from Préjean's in Lafayette. You get your crawfish bread that's from up in Central Louisiana. French Quarter Fest, the same. Fewer examples of that, but Lazone's is the great example. And they're, you know, it's that Natchitoches meat pie, that bubbly crusted empanada style, little ham pie turnover. And the photo I have on there is it's the killer combo. They have this thing called Zydeco shrimp potatoes that don't sound like much, actually. You know, if I'm out at a festival and it's a little warm, I'm not thinking a big bowl of potatoes with sauce. But, you know, this is why I take the first swipe at things for my people, Tommy, for my audience.
Well, somebody has to.
Exactly. The Zydeco shrimp potatoes are fantastic.
But
they're really well.
You don't normally think of shrimp and mashed potatoes, do you?
Right. No, you don't. But somebody did, and it's delicious together. And then you get one of the ham pies on the side because you stood there and you got – you're in front of the hand pie stand, you're going to get a Natchitoches meat pie. So you add one of those to the side, and bish, bash, bosh. That's a great little combo. And that stand itself is in the Jack's Brewery lot. So all these food court areas have their own names and designations. And that one is in particularly really rich with options. When I picked my favorites for that story that you're glancing at NOLA.com, I just found myself racking up a lot of them from that area. Right next door to Les Zones should be Aphrodisiac, which is a awesome Caribbean Creole fusion restaurant in Gentilly with a killer old patio and back and nice cocktails, great people. They made their festival debut last year, and it was one of the best things I had at the festival and in a long time were their jerk smoked turkey necks. Oh my God, Tommy, so good. They're back with it again this year. It's on the restaurant menu on the regular. So it's one of those things, if you get a taste for it at the festival, you know where to find it. And just, it's one of those, you're taking your time, you're pulling every bit of this delicious smoke jerk spiced meat off of the bone. Just taking some time with it. Not a dish that's going to get you full, but a dish that's going to just blast you with flavor. It's fantastic.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I want to open the Elkhornart Jeweler talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Don't text and drive. Text, message, and data fees may apply. I think that's how I have to say it. If you have any questions or comments about Ian McNulty, specifically about French Quarter Fest or about eating or drinking in general in the New Orleans area. Ian, have you ever been to Les Zones in Natchitoches? Can you bring it back?
No, I've never actually made the trek because they come down here. But it is one of those things, thinking about road trips, that would be a good one.
But it's very, very mom-and-pop-ish, not after all of the reputation that you hear. It's an amazingly simple place that you would have no idea. Kind of like, almost, I guess, like Mandina's was before the renovation, if I could maybe make a comparison, but a lot smaller. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Tommy Tucker, finally, Friday morning, back in a flash with Ian McNulty on WWL. I asked people to text in if they had any questions for Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining for the Times-Picayune. Somebody wants to know if they have smoked turkey legs at either the Strawberry Festival or the French Quarter Festival. You look, I asked, they texted, I'm asking.
Yeah, sure. No, that's festival fare, right? I saw one out at Hogs in the Cause last weekend. But alas, definitely not at French Quarter Festival. Strawberry Fest, I do not know, but I think Strawberry Fest might be your more likely venue for a little, was it King Richard's Fair kind of fair, right?
Are you a fan of the turkey leg?
I would be in for a couple bites. That would be, if you're comfortable sharing your turkey leg, that might be a shared festival dish. That might be more of a, sitting down at the table with a steady supply of napkins and a knife and fork.
I made the mistake of eating one of those or attempting to eat one of those on one of these miserably hot July days in Disney World with one of the trips when the kid was a kid. And that pretty well soured me to the experience. But hey, to each his own. If you like it, have a blast. Let's talk about Krabby Jack's Duck Po' Boy. This looks delicious.
Yeah, that's the lead photo on my NOLA.com story for a reason. That thing, look at that sucker. It is, at first glance, you're like, whoa, what is this, a roast beef po' boy with just really big, thick chunks of roast beef? Nah, duck. Krabby Jack's, just for reference, is on Jefferson Highway. It's the sister restaurant to Giacomo's, the famous Giacomo's on Oak Street. And Krabby Jack's, some people will remember it was Louisiana Seafood Exchange, which was a po' boy shop attached to a seafood distributor. And its claim to fame was, it was right there near, all the warehouses and distribution centers. And you would see these tractor trailer trucks practically jackknifing themselves on Jefferson Highway by the tracks to pull over and stop and find a way to park so that guys could get in there and get one of their po' boys because they knew where to get the good stuff. Well, anyway, Krabby Jack's continues that legacy. It's a first-class, old-fashioned po' boy shop, but they got a creative streak, and so in addition to the standard po' boys, they have a roasted duck, and it's tender but real flavorful, and the gravy is that rich, juicy gravy poured all over it, and the Leidenheimer bread manages to hold it all together just long enough at the festival. That's going to be at Jackson Square, kind of right in the heart of the action there. Jackson Square basically turns into a food court with a music stage in the corner. And that's when you want to split, right? I mean, if you want to try a few things out at French Quarter Fest. So don't sink the whole freighter with a po' boy torpedo. Just have, split that up with a couple people. Take a few bites.
Let me say this. It's wrapped in white paper, and I don't find anything more offensive than getting a po' boy and having it come in a styrofoam container. Am I alone in it?
No. You want that wrapper. It's part of the experience.
It just ruins the texture of the bread and everything else. It's not. I don't know why people do that, but they do. Tim Zimmer, not asleep at the switch at Master Control. He did some research. Apparently, in the Jack's Brewery lot from Papa 90 Catering Company, you can get a stuffed turkey leg with seafood pasta, shrimp, and crawfish. So
hey,
kudos to Kim to Tim Zimmer. Congratulations, Tim. Yeah, well, I'll give you some Odyssey award points for that. Let's talk about what is this one? By the way, if y'all want to follow along, just Google Nodal.com and Ian McNulty and French Quarter Festival. You'll see the magnificent story that he wrote. And you can also see the pictures and follow along. Barbecue Oyster Po' Boy from Redfish Grill.
Redfish Grill, yeah. This is the Ralph Brennan restaurant on Bourbon Street, which I always say this is a much better restaurant than it has to be. It's on the 100 block of Bourbon Street. They could be slinging anything there, and a lot of restaurants around there, frankly, do. But this is a Ralph Brennan restaurant. It's real quality, and it's great. It's the kind of restaurant I hope tourists would stumble into. But for festivals, they switch gears, and they go into this totally local fun mode. And the barbecue oyster po' boy is something they came up with years ago. It makes periodic appearances at Oak Street Po' Boy Fest, French Quarter Fest, and it's a delight. It's when I say barbecue oyster, think barbecue shrimp. It's more like that than any kind of grilled barbecue sauce kind of barbecue. Tangy, crystal hot sauce based butter sauce, fried oysters, blue cheese dressing, Leidenheimer bread, crunch of that bread, the oyster bursting with juice underneath, the sour tang of the blue cheese against the buttery crystal hot sauce. Delightful.
Looks good. Somebody texted in here, and again, you can text your questions in 504-260-1870, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Please don't text and drive. Text, data, and message rates may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Back before the text, to a point you made about the Redfish Grill, I agree with you, because they could sling out some kind of crap for tourists, and the tourists wouldn't know any better, and they'd be laughing all the way to the bank, but they choose not to do that.
Sure. No, early in my New Orleans days, I worked at one of those slinging hash kind of places, and I knew the food was bad, but, you know, people would legitimately leave, like, slapping me on the shoulder. I was the door guy. Slapping me on the shoulder, saying, man, that was the best food we've ever had, and it was red beans from a can, and they weren't even doctored up. And so if that's the standard that people coming from elsewhere are impressed by, you know, yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But the places that really care about it are presenting a much better version of our food. Redfish Grill is one of them. Kudos to them. They've been on Bourbon Street forever. It's like when people visit, I want them to have great experiences. And if you're on, you know, you don't leave Bourbon Street, but you find your way to that door, great. And, you know, for me as a local, I see them at French Quarter Fest, and I know they have that po' boy. That's definitely circled for the list.
Can I tell a story of myself? Friend of the family was in town to see the Green Bay Packers game, so we went when they played the Saints. And then I took him to Redfish Grill, and that was back in the days when I was drinking, and it got a little bit ahead of me. And I was greeted by my now ex-wife the day after, saying, you know, you ran up a $900 tab and ordered this wine and that wine, right? And I said, well, no, really, I don't remember any of that. But I had, and the people had a great time. Somebody wants to know about goat. Is it similar to lamb in flavor? The lamb I've had has always been a bit on the gamey side of flavor, which is something I prefer to avoid. Are there any places where goat is on the menu, and if so, done well and not gamey, or places where the lamb is on the menu that isn't gamey?
Yes and yes. I understand what you're saying, but it's, first of all, the distinction, lamb and goat are more alike than they are dissimilar, more alike than they are to, say, pork or beef. Goat is going to be, you're not going to find goat chops, man. Right? You're going to find lamb chops that are going to be your tender, young lambs.
Where does that come from on a lamb? I'm just curious, the chop.
The chop, what's that? It's sort of about along the belly, you know, like the torso kind of area.
Like the
there.
Ribs and all that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got a rib coming with you on the bone there.
And the lambs don't do a lot of heavy lifting, so it's pretty tender meat, I guess, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And we went through this before, right? Lamb is basically the veal to mutton,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's a young animal.
It's a baby
animal
is what it is.
Yeah, spring lamb. Yeah, well, it is the season. Easter, spring lambs, you know, this is how it all works.
Slaughter them all, let God sort them. That's what I say. No, I'm just kidding. But let's talk about, what were you saying about goat and all?
Or Abraham, whoever you're
talking about. Yeah, Abraham. There you go. Now, that would be an idea for a restaurant, Ian McNulty, Abraham's. Where they slaughter the goat in front of you. And this is kind of like what they did in The Leftovers. I don't know if you ever saw that show on HBO or not. But they'd bring the goat in, slaughter it in front of you, and then cook it on a spit. And they could do it as a part religious ceremony, part dining experience. What do you think? You in? You putting any money into that or not?
Between all this and us talking about steakhouses on Lenten Fridays, my knuckles are reflexively quivering about, you know, looking for Dunn's ruler. Yeah.
It's just an idea. All right. Okay. Go ahead, please.
It's all fair game to me, as I say, talking food and game. But to the listener's point, goat, goat is you're going to have little bits of goat attached to meat. You know, you're not getting a goat steak or a goat chop. It's a meat that's going to be cooked into things. And find yourself an Indian restaurant or a Caribbean restaurant. Indian restaurants, there's a new one in Lakeview called Embers, we went to recently, or Ember, excuse me. Very good. It's related to another Indian restaurant called Aroma. You got a goat vindaloo, which is a good way to try it because it's going to have a lot of spice. And, you know, if you get leftovers, that stuff heated up the next day with some of the leftover basmati rice, terrific. But to this listener in particular, if you're sensitive about gaminess, yeah, it's a meat that's got some chew on it. It's a meat that's got it's not praised for its tender delicacy. Let's put it that way. So if you're sensitive to it, and try it in a dish like that at an Indian restaurant that's got a lot of sauce, a lot of curry going on. See if you can get the hang for it. And if not, lesson learned, and you know, you still got a dish with some good flavor going on.
Back to the French Quarter Fest, spicy tuna sushi taco from Nori Guys. Normally your pictures enthrall me. This I got no interest in, but go ahead, please.
Okay, sure. Well, this is a Nori Guys is a pop-up. They've got a restaurant now called Hibachi Grill. It's on Broad Street near the criminal courthouse, Banks and Broad. And their pop-up alter ego, Nori Guys, specializes in things that look like they're coming out of the sushi bar, but a bit different. So this taco, the tortilla, is in fact a strip of nori, seaweed, you know, the black crinkly seaweed that you wrap sushi rolls in. Although here they fry it, so it's got these bits of tempura fry batter speckling it, making it crunchy and crispy. And that becomes the taco, the tortilla stand-in, for a filling of raw tuna, marinated raw tuna, like out of the sushi bar, topped with a little sushi bar crab salad there, a little hot sauce, a little zigzag of maybe some sriracha and some eel sauce. I love it. It's a lighter, fun, crunchy, fresh snack. That's good for hotter weather, festival noshing.
Somebody wants to know. Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They're also the stand is in Jackson Square.
Right, somebody wants to know about crawfish bread at French Quarter Festival.
That is going to be from TJ Gourmet. So not the same crawfish bread that you're getting at Jazz Fest, but definitely the same idea. TJ Gourmet is also a Jazz Fest food vendor. There's a lot of interplay between them. But look, you take some good bread, some cheese, some spice, some crawfish tails, recipe for success. And by the way, that's something that, you know, has become much like barbecue shrimp, you know, a dish that originated at one restaurant, Pascal Manali's, has spread all over. Crawfish bread is now sort of an idea. So Le Boulangerie, the bakery on Magazine Street, and Donald Link, they've got like a brioche crawfish bread that they're doing right now because it's crawfish season and festival season, so it's on people's minds. I just saw an example, I haven't tried it yet, but from Jack Rose at the Punch Train Hotel, they're taking Dong Fong milk bread, so like a round bun, and making a gourmet restaurant version of crawfish bread. And Nolita's Bakery over by Bayou St. John, great king cake over there. They do a really fun crawfish bread because they're near the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. near the Jazz Fest area. So, you know, it's great festival food. It's great springtime crawfish season food. And it feels great to be living through this time with you, Tommy.
Get out and enjoy it. Thank you, Ian McNulty. Pleasure as always. Just Google or search Ian McNulty. You'll find everything you need to know about him and everything he's written. 9:40, quick break. Then we'll talk about taxes on THC or over-the-counter hemp products when we come back on WWL. 9:44, 16 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canna, and we're going to talk about taxes on hemp and THC products. You all right there, Joe?
I am.
All right, okay. Let's talk about what's going on here because, first of all, I don't know politically what's going on. I thought Republicans used to be against taxes, Democrats were for taxes. Now it seems like Republicans are for taxes because they're saying that this would raise $9 million in revenue when the time faces budgetary challenges. But let's talk about first of all, how the industry came about and what happened last year, because it seems particularly dumb to me, because the only thing they did was mean you was make it where you had to buy more of the product, but maybe that was in advance of knowing there would increase the sales tax, so more product, more sales tax. I don't know. Explain it all to me, please.
Yeah, man, it's complicated, to be honest. I'll try to simplify a little bit. Right now, the state imposes an excise tax of 3% on hemp sales, and the retailer pays that. The way it works with alcohol and other industries is that the tax is paid by the wholesaler, which makes the burden on the retailer a lot easier, and it makes taxation a lot simpler.
But wait, hang on a second. Let me just jump in here, because what I'm hearing is almost like tariffs. So if the wholesaler pays it, why do they not pass it on to you and you to the consumer, ultimately?
Well, if the wholesaler pays it, it's just simpler. The retailer doesn't have to go and file an excise tax report with the state, which a lot of people, from my understanding, are not doing.
Okay.
So we think you'd raise a lot more money by making that basic switch right there. I completely agree with you. I don't understand how Republicans go from saying that they want lower taxes for everybody to trying to quadruple, quintuple, and more the tax on something that consumers are paying. And these are products that people want, and people have – last session it was the most heavily lobbied issue in the legislature. They know people want these products, and – my understanding is that nobody wants to talk about this stuff anymore after last year. Everyone says, let's take a breather. But, again, we have these bills to raise the taxes on people. And as you know, people are struggling right now. The economy's rough. It's uncertain. And I find it a little outrageous that they're considering a significantly higher tax on hemp products than exists on alcohol.
How does
That's
what I was going to ask you. You're reading ahead, Joe, because the next question was compare and contrast the taxes on alcohol, which is a drug which causes a ton of problems in society that we as a government, as a people, have determined to be legal, as opposed to the taxes on your product.
Yeah, taxation for beer, for example, is about 3.75 cents per 12-ounce can. So it's not nothing, but it's not an enormous burden on the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
A 20% tax on our product or a 15% tax would be substantially higher than that. I mean, 5-6 times the amount. So we're definitely looking to fight this issue in the legislature, and it's something we're going to ask people to reach out to their representatives and just say, look, no more taxes. And that should be something that, like you said, Republicans should want to hear, but here we are with a bunch of Republican bills looking to increase taxes on consumers for no apparent reason.
And if you're thinking about texting me saying that cannabis is, or THC is more damaging than alcohol, don't waste your time, because I don't think there's anything that can tear up families more. Look, it's like any addiction, right? Whether it's alcohol or gambling or whatever, there are a lot of things that cause a lot of problems in families. But for whatever reason, it seems as though, and I don't really use THC-infused seltzers, I'm just trying to figure out what's fair and what's not, why these are being targeted. Tell me about what happened last year with the changes in the law, because it seems like it just, the only thing that changed was I can still get the same amount of THC, but I have to buy twice as much product to do that if I want that. Accurate or not?
Yeah, that's more than that. We used to sell 50 milligram drinks, and a lot of people with very high tolerances enjoyed those, and it helped them with whatever it is that they choose to have it help them with. It's really none of my business. Now that same product can only be in a 5 milligram. And what we're seeing, and what I told the legislators we would see, is that people are going online, they're buying these products from less reputable companies who do not abide by any of the state laws, who do not pay any taxes here, and who frankly don't care about consumers. So we've put ourselves in a situation where they created a black market yet again, where there was absolutely no need to do so, and now they're trying to raise taxes on people who try to do business the right way while doing absolutely nothing to enforce these rules that out-of-state companies don't follow.
Tell me about the investment you've made with your company in Louisiana, and considering that this is going to be at least 2 years in a row, your industry's in the crosshairs of the legislature and taxes. As a business owner, what does that do for your desire to invest more in Louisiana?
Well, I'll tell you, we have our entire administrative team and our sales team here, outside of individuals who work in the markets where we sell across the country.
Mm-hmm.
What we'd like to do, and what we've hoped to do for a while, is to move our manufacturing industry here, to move our facility here, where we'd probably employ somewhere around 15 to 20 people. And it's impossible with the constant bombardment by the legislature and the complete uncertainty in the industry. If they just said, look, you guys can do this, it's legal, we will not mess with you, we would have significantly more jobs, and we'd be willing to invest a lot of money in this economy, in this city, in this state, to make sure that we make the best products in the world and hopefully become one of the biggest companies in this sector. But right now it's impossible. And I've said this to the Senate president, I've said this to a number of legislatures, and everybody seems receptive, but when it comes down to it, nobody does anything to help us. And everyone in this state on the political side talks about wanting to be more pro-business, pay less taxes. And all I actually see in reality is the exact opposite of that.
So Lori Schlegel has a bill to add criminal penalties to anybody who sells THC products to people under 21. It's already illegal. I'm guessing you don't have an issue with that?
So Lori and I are you know, we see very differently on this industry.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't think it should exist. It does exist. I think it should exist without unnecessary regulation. I met with her the other day, and we talked about some ways that we can cooperate to make sure that the industry is safer and that these products are staying out of the hands of children. I do think that some of her bill is a little bit redundant. I think that most of these protections already exist in the law. They're just not clarified to the degree in which she wishes it to be. But there are plenty of things that we agree on. And I think primarily that is that these products need to stay out of the hands of children, and they need to be sold by people who are following the law, and the products themselves have to be safe and tested and regulated. So,
I just wanted to bring that up because I think you could infer from that somehow you want to sell THC products to people under 21, or there aren't laws in place already. But I don't think that's a proper inferral. I think the safeguards are really already there, and the people that are going to break the law are going to break the law anyway. Accurate or not?
Yeah, I mean, last session, people held up products and said, these are being sold in gas stations, these are in the hands of children. And I looked at those products, and they are not registered products. So people are selling illegal products, and they're blaming us for it. And it doesn't do anything for the industry for people to lie effectively and blame us for things that aren't our fault or our problem, when the real issue lies with the ATC enforcement of this kind of stuff. And honestly, they need to have proper funding. They need to have proper staffing to make this a real industry. And for some reason, as I mentioned before, they keep not doing anything about online sales. People can just sell whatever they want to the state with no consequences whatsoever. There's never been one company that has gotten in trouble for selling illegal product to this state without being registered. How is that not the priority here? Why are we focusing on making it harder to do business in this state while completely giving a pass to people who don't follow the rules to begin with?
So it seems like, again, you're in the crosshairs. Plans for the legislative session or fears?
Man, we had really hoped to sit this one out. I think that legislators don't want to argue about it. I don't expect we're going to have an existential threat to the industry. I hope that we can agree on a tax plan that benefits the state and benefits consumers and doesn't raise the amount of money people have to pay for products they want. So otherwise, we're kind of staying out of it. I think next year we're going to try to target trying to make some gains back. Right now, we're not allowed to sell in any new bars and restaurants, which feels to me pretty illegal, unconstitutional, I think I would say, although I'm not a lawyer, so don't take my word for it. But if you open a bar next to another bar right now, you can't sell THC products. And these products are very popular. They are making up for a big chunk of the loss that alcohol is seeing as people drink less and less. And frankly, I think it's unfair, and it's anti-small business. And if you want people to start businesses, you can't make them start off with a handicap. It's just a little bit ridiculous, again, how hypocritical a lot of people are on the legislative side right now.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your time. Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canna. And y'all need to remember the break tag thing from last year? They openly admitted that break tags had nothing to do with vehicle safety at all. It was strictly a fundraising measure. And the reason they didn't do away with it was that the municipalities would be hurting too bad without the money. Just saying, in terms of what's real and what's not. We'll be back. Find out what Newell's got planned for us today on WWL.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.